Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Amen. That message today, I need to tell you a little bit about where I've come from so you'll know why I can say that with boldness. And believe me, anything that I say today is not to brag on me, but I want to give honor and glory to my Savior, Jesus Christ, because it's through Him that I stand here before you today, and by Him and His power that I don't collapse, okay? I was born a little child. No, I'm not going to start back that far. I was born again at age 11 in a Southern Baptist church, and praise God for them. I heard the gospel about how much Jesus loved me, and I received Christ at age 11, and my life did change. And as I grew up, there was a number of things that took place with people coming to me saying, you know, you're a pastor boy, you're a preacher boy, things of that nature. And I totally rejected it. I didn't want to hear it. And probably a lot of you know why. Because all the pastors I saw, and I'm not trying to put anybody down, but they were broke, they were harassed, and they were fired every time I turned around. They were gone. And then they had these things called missionaries come in, and all they did was talk about malaria and being in a mud hut in Africa, and I didn't want any part of it. And so I basically ran from God, and I didn't even realize I was running. I just knew that I didn't want any part of that. And so I thought business was the key. That was after I went through a spell in law enforcement. After doing all that, I got a four-year degree, I got a two-year degree, I got a two-year certificate, and I got another two-year certificate from Andrew Womack for the Caris Bible College. So that qualifies me to be certified. And God qualifies me to stand up here today, because without Him, I would not be here. Truthfully, I would not. While we were there at Colorado Springs, we were fortunate enough to work at the phone center. And let me back up just a little bit. The Lord had laid on my heart to study healing and things of that nature, miracles, long before I ever went. And so I got a chance to go and be a prayer minister up at the GTS, the Gospel Truth Seminar, in Norfolk, Virginia in 2005. And I called up, made the arrangements, went through the training and everything. And that's where I saw my first miracle. My wife had seen a person receive their sight in the lobby in Raleigh whenever Andrew was there. And so I had to have some of that. I just knew that I could learn how to minister to people if I could get under that teaching. So I went, and before the prayer training session even started, a man came in with his wife. And I was handing out the little name badges, and I didn't have one for him. And I apologized to him. I said, "We'll get you one, mate." He said, "No, I'm not here to go through prayer training." I said, "Well, why not? You're going to sit through it. You might as well go ahead." He said, no. He says, I've got back problems. I said, "Well, you're in the right place." He said, "No, you don't understand." He says, I can't stand more than 15 minutes. I'm in severe pain if I do, almost passing out. He said, "My doctor even told me that he needs to put me on a morphine drip. I don't know that much about it, but I know it's pretty bad if you need that." And so I said, "Well, you're at the right place again." So Nadawa, I don't know if any of you know her, but she was the prayer minister trainer. And I said, "We need to pray for this man." So I laid hands on him, and I couldn't even put my hand flat on his back. I'm not sure if it was scar tissue, whether it was muscle spasms or what. But I laid my hand on his back, and he said, "Yeah, that's the place." And as soon as we commanded that pain to leave and that back to be healed, my hand went flattened out like that. And I said, "Do you feel that?" And he said, "I felt it before you did." So we said, "Well, you know, you're healed." And Nadawa was really cool about it. She says, "Okay, go stand up in the back of the room." And I saw the little doubt coming in. I said, don't say anything. And so he stood up in the back of the room, and every few minutes she would ask him, "How you doing?" And his first thing was, "Well, so far, so good." She said, "That's not the right statement." He said, "Oh, yeah, by Jesus' stripes, I was healed." She said, "That's right, and you're healed now." He stood for 45 minutes. And every time she would stop, it got a whole lot more positive. He was out of pain. He'd been in pain for years and years and years. And he went in and ministered to people. He saw miracles happen. People got healed. And he was just exposed to the power of God that day. So what I'm telling you is not just for the fivefold ministry. And praise God for Pastor Bob and the staff here and the volunteers that are prayer ministers. Thank God for them. But to operate in miracles, to see healings, to lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover, it's for everyone in the body of Christ. It's for everyone. So what I'm telling you is just to preface what I'm about to talk about, because it's for everyone. It's true, it's some training to go along with it, because God has a way that He's designed that things happen, how we receive. So that's all it's about. But the main thing is that we understand it's His power, not us. It's His glory, not us. And I'll leave one thought with you before I get rolling here. Jesus did the work. We received the reward, and God gets the glory. Amen. If you hear anything else come out of someone's mouth that says that they're a minister, and it draws attention to a person rather than God, it's not a God, okay? I did write some notes, and that'll probably get you out of here by next Wednesday. But I did see a lot of other manifestations, and like I said, on the phone lines, I prayed with hundreds and hundreds, probably well over 1,000 people, and God's power, whenever people understood the grace message, was released frequently. I can't say everybody received instant manifestation, because sometimes it's not instant. Sometimes it takes place over a period of time. But that's a whole lot better than not at all. Amen? And some of the more memorable ones, and I'll share two right quickly. One lady called in about her voice being a little gravelly. And I didn't get into the background. So I prayed with her, and her voice started getting better. I said, well, that's great. I said, "What is there anything else that you can do? You know, I said, express your faith right now. She says, well, my arm's kind of working good. I said, well, that's great. She said, and my leg's working pretty good too. I said, that is a good thing. She says, you don't understand. I had a stroke, and I was paralyzed. And so she was happy, and I was too. Amen. Another woman called in. She says, I've got pain in my ankle. And I said, well, that's no problem. And pain, seriously, is one of the easiest things to get rid of. It is very easy to get rid of pain. And so I said, that's no problem. You know, God will take care of that. We prayed together. I said, okay, now do something you couldn't do with your ankle and your foot before. I said, stand up. And so I heard this silence on the phone. And I said, okay, what's going on? She said, well, I stood up. And then she says, my foot is sort of going around in circles now. And I said, is that good? She said, yeah, it's good. And I said, well, how about the pain? She said, well, the pain's gone. I said, praise God. I said, well, what is this thing about your foot going in circles? She said, well, 2 years ago, the doctors fused it surgically. They put 6 pins and screws in it, and it grew together, and it wouldn't move. So I said, well, praise God. I'm sure that God did something with it, but He's honest. I don't know what He did with it, but I'm sure it's right by Him. And she was praising God and happy. And I don't think it was near as much as me. But God does things like that, and we see the miraculous, and we think a lot of times that if it doesn't happen instantaneously, then we start looking back inside of us. And I'll talk about this in a few minutes. Anytime you take your eyes off of Jesus, then it gets into the flesh stuff. It gets into how can I make it happen. We don't make it happen. What if it doesn't happen? God is real. God's power is real. And God manifests Himself mightily through His Word. And we're going to talk about that right now. If you would turn to Romans 1, verse 16 and 17. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it," that is the gospel, "is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." We're going to go through this scripture here and kind of take it apart a little bit. It starts out here saying that he is not ashamed of the gospel. And the first word that popped out at me was gospel. What is the gospel? We say it all the time, and it's become a religious term that a lot of people have heard the term, but they really don't understand what it is. A lot of people associate gospel with you're going to hell if you don't repent, turn or burn. The gospel actually means the nearly too good to be true news. In some of the other places in Paul's writings, he refers to the gospel as grace, the grace. Those words are interchangeable. Okay, what is grace? Grace is actually the supernatural ability of God to do something for you that you have no ability to do on your own. It's supernatural. And the big thing about it, it's a gift. It cannot be earned. Let me repeat that. It cannot be earned. Now, the first part of that verse, it says, "For I'm not ashamed." Whenever I grew up in rural Durham County here in North Carolina, my dad always said, "Son, we don't receive charity." And I knew where he was coming from, and I'm not trying to put him down or anything, but he said, "We don't receive charity. We don't take handouts, but we give to other people. We like to help people, but we don't accept charity." And there was a time in my life, and I'm not proud to admit this, but to let you know that I needed some work on my teeth one time, and I didn't have the funds available at that time to take care of some teeth. And I sure wasn't in faith either. And I went to one of these places where the government pays for your teeth to be fixed. And as I sat there, I thought about what was said, and I was really ashamed. I was ashamed that I was in that situation because I'd been brought up that we never take charity. And Paul is referring to this because being a Pharisee of Pharisees, his mindset was that I am the elite, the best of the best. I keep all the laws down to the jot and tittle. And we please God because we are holy. So he come through all that, and now he's saying, this is entirely opposite of what he grew up with all of his life. He was put in a position to say, all of my righteousness, all of the right things that I do, all of these legalistic things that I go through, washing and cleansing and praying and doing all these things, doesn't amount to a hill of beans to God. His whole life had been spent for nothing. And so he's saying, in that situation, I'm not ashamed to accept charity. I'm not ashamed to accept a gift from God. And there's absolutely nothing I can do to earn it. Nothing. That's very humbling. That's very humbling. So how about the word salvation? It says here that it's the power of God unto salvation. We know what power is. That's dunamis. That's the Greek word for miraculous power, the kind of power that God has, the anointing. You've probably heard of that. What actually is salvation? Salvation is a word that covers a lot of things. How about if you do this? Anything that deals with security, preservation, those type things, protection. Include all those things and see how many things that you can come up with in your mind that would include. I look at it like a package. Everybody likes package deals, don't you? Buy one, get one free. You know, 3 for $5. God is good. He packaged everything together because remember the grace that we talked about? Grace is doing something for us we cannot do ourselves. So anything that you cannot do for yourselves, put that over into the definition of salvation. See if it fits. If you look at that word, deliver, health, salvation, save, and saving, is the way that the King James has translated that word salvation in other scriptures. Let's go back to Ephesians 2, 8, 9 just a moment. And let's talk about a few things here. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There we go again about that little formula I gave you. Jesus does the work, we receive the reward, God gets the glory. A lot of people today have been taught so much about faith, and I heard this on the telephone praying with people so many times. They have been taught over and over, it's be a mighty man of faith, have great faith, and they were working on their faith so much that they miss God. They will quote in so many scriptures that they actually miss God. How can you do that? It's easy. I've done it. Well, that sounds strange. I want to throw this out to you. Do you think that God, in His holiness and His love for us, and what He did through Jesus Christ to bring His family back together. Because remember, Adam was originally made for fellowship. That was his family. That's why Jesus was sent. God wanted His family back. Do you think that He would leave it to chance that we wouldn't come up with enough faith to receive the grace that He gave us? I'm going to throw this out to you. And I've done this with people on the phone. They win this predicament. I just don't think I've got enough faith. It doesn't seem to work. I said, well, okay, I understand where you come from. I said, if you could use the God kind of faith, if you could use Jesus' faith, do you think that it would manifest for you? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Jesus' faith makes everything come to pass. I said, turn with me to a few scriptures. Okay, is everybody with me? All right. Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, I realize that some of your translations say faith in Jesus Christ. I realize that. But bear with me. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Let's go to Galatians 2:20, just down a few verses. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. One more and we'll move on. Philippians 3:9. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So that righteousness that we operate in came by the faith of Jesus. Jesus had to operate in faith. In His flesh, as a human being, He didn't know that whenever He went to the cross, that all that suffering was really going to be worth it. But that was God's plan, to bring his family back to him. Because remember, relationship, fellowship, family, it was the most important thing that was on God's mind. So you that have been struggling, could you maybe use the faith of Christ to take hold of whatever manifestation you need today? That's what Paul did. And he wrote well over half of the New Testament. If he had to use the faith of Christ, he couldn't come up with it on his own. I think I need to use it too. Amen? Let's talk about another thing that deals with faith. A lot of people get into, that's not a faith, that you're getting into works whenever you're talking about doing something. Well, the Old Testament, obedience was doing. The New Testament, obedience is believing or faith. Okay? Now, in James, a lot of people used to get upset whenever they go to the book of James. He talked about works of righteousness. Oh, there's that word again. You know, in a non-denominational church, we don't like that word work. We do it at church, but we don't like the word work. It's all by grace. And I understand where you're coming from. There are works of righteousness which we try to drum up. Those are dead works. There are works of righteousness which God has placed in us that we do. And that's because his power is actually doing them through us. It's not to try to get God to do something on our behalf. It's because of who he is in us that gives us the ability to do that particular thing. Big difference, right? Everything that we're talking about in the package of salvation has already been done. It was done 2,000 years ago. The only thing we're talking about today of manifesting what's ours, it's in the spirit realm, comes across out of the supernatural into the natural realm by faith. That's how God set it up. So we can try to do other things. Well, God, you know, I need it more than anybody else does. Need doesn't cause it to come out of the supernatural into your life. That's not how God set it up. He says it's by faith. And just like in the Old Testament, he said, I place before you life and death, blessing and cursing. You choose. And then he gives us a hint. He says, I would that you choose life. Okay? In the New Testament, he says, I've given you salvation through Jesus Christ. It's called the gospel. It's a package deal. I've given you everything that I have. All the power that I have is available to you. Every need that you have is taken care of. But you access that not by need, but just by applying faith. Okay? Now, whenever you go into James, some people have a problem with it, but I don't. And the reason being, James 2:20 says that faith without works is dead. Do you think the lepers that Jesus dealt with, whenever he said, go and show yourself to the priest, do you think if they hadn't gone forward and went to see the priest, that they would have received their healing? Was that maybe part of it? It says, as they went, they were healed. How about the person that he made mud and placed it on his eyes and says, now go wash in the pool, specific pool. If the man had not gone to the pool, do you think he would have received his healing? Well, that was a work. It actually showed that he had faith in what Jesus did. How about the lady that had the issue of blood and the doctors had taken all her money and she was none better? Do you think if she hadn't actually made her way in and touched Jesus, that she would have received? I hear the wheels turning. That's good. That's good. So things to do as a result of the faith that Christ has put in you whenever you hear the gospel is good. It's not something that gets God to move. He's already moved. What it does, it says that you are in alignment with God. You agree with what He said. Take, for instance, healing. Why do you think I asked the people that I prayed with, well, what can you do now that you could not do before? Why do you think Peter reached down at the man that had been lame from birth and told him, rise up in the name of Jesus? He grabbed him by the right hand and pulled him up. And strength at that time came. What if the man had continued to sit there and said, well, whenever the power of God hits me, then I'll just get up. How about the person in bed? I believe by Jesus' stripes I was healed. And whenever I'm healed, I'll get up. He was healed 2,000 years ago. It's called acting on your faith. And Brother Hagin talked about how whenever he was lying in bed, paralyzed and terminal blood disease, he talked about how, well, I've quoted the scriptures, and the Lord spoke to him and said, well, people don't lay in bed at 10:30 in the morning. Hint. And he didn't receive strength until he was about to fall into the floor. He pushed his legs off. They were paralyzed. A little food for thought there. There are some things that God may reveal to you about accomplishing because of your faith. It's not a work, though, as in works of the law. It's some action because of what you actually believe.